The helicopter industry's big annual show indicates a robust market. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Jim Campbell, who is the CEO and editor-in-chief of Aero News Network, and lately a globetrotter, so I wanted to get his perspective, particularly on the Helicopter Association International show. And Jim, you were there. I was reading all the releases coming out of it. It looked like a couple big stories were dominating that were obvious to the outside world. Let's talk about those first. One was that the avionics industry looks like they are in a foot race to the finish line for the Bell 206 and Bell 407 to get STCs for their avionics products.
Well, there's no question that they see an attractive market right now, both for the retrofit market for the 206, as well as other aircraft that are exceedingly popular in the rotorcraft community. We had a chance to talk to a number of the avionics companies out there. A couple of them are also RANs and kind of, you know, trailed the pack. But there's a few of them that were in the game from the beginning. Aspen, as a matter of fact, has had an installation on a public use 206 for quite some time, I think the better part of a year, and has quite a bit of time and grade. And so when they were ready to look at certifying the product for helicopter use, they had a great deal of experience as they were handing in the paperwork.
It was just within moments of that announcement that Garmin announced its G500H would be available for those same two airframes in a few weeks. L3's standby instrument is now available for Part 27 and Part 29 rotorcraft. And Avedine's EX600 multifunction display is available to replace the old Bendix color weather and search and rescue radar system. It kind of had that feel at a lot of the general shows over the past few months that a lot of the news was going to be avionics-based.
It's certainly the most dynamic segment of the market when times are bad, because no matter what's happening, whether you're selling new airframes or trying to keep older airframes in the air, the one area that constantly gets upgraded is the panel, because you have to do more with the equipment no matter what you do, especially in an age when avionics capability is proving to be a significant benefit to the operator who's trying to eke every cent out of their flying dollar they possibly can. The capabilities right now, especially with glass panel and so forth, are really quite extraordinary, and we don't expect that to stop anytime soon. Talking to a number of the manufacturers and knowing what's on the plan, what they're looking for in the not too distant future, I'm actually feeling pretty excited about some things I know are being worked on.
Well, and I think too that in a time when capital is tight, the avionics people have their software guys, you know, that they definitely want to keep employed. You know, they're still paying them a salary. They're still working on new stuff. And when the hardware doesn't have to change to bring out a new product, that's significant.
Amen to that.
Well, the other big news that caught me from the outside here was the introduction of the R-66 by Robinson Helicopter with a price that kind of startled a few people.
Well, it startled me, actually. And keep in mind that I've had the great good fortune to be good friends with Frank Robinson and his son, Kurt, and the family for a number of years. I've known him for decades and worked with him pretty closely on a number of projects and had a chance to be behind the scenes on a lot of things. And when Frank said he was going to put it in under $1 million, well, that was an interesting challenge, especially considering where most of the market is. But he came out with a helicopter that met all of his specifications. And we had an interview with Frank on the floor on the last day, in which he was, you know, very clear that he did what he wanted to do with the machine. And while the money right now is pretty impressive, it may not last, but they feel pretty comfortable with introducing the R-66, a solid five-place turbine helicopter, for $770,000, and it's quite a value.
Well, I cannot imagine any flight school that's entertained the notion of offering turbine transition training not having this be just a total no-brainer. I mean, the cockpit looks very similar. Even the external dimensions are very similar, except for the height of the mast, and obviously a little more width in the cockpit for the extra seat in the back. But, I mean, this will be a slam-dunk transition machine for anybody moving into turbine.
Well, this is the thing that Frank had mentioned. He said his problem right now is that he really can't find much of a difference in the way that they fly. It climbs a little bit better, obviously. He says the speeds are pretty close. But he says flying the R-44 or flying the R-66 outside of the starting procedure, there's just not a whole lot of difference. And he's indicating that the transition is going to be, at this point, pretty informal. And this is from a company that is very, very conservative on their transitions. So that's a pretty startling statement on his part.
Well, not only is the company conservative on the transitions, but the FAA has some SFARs in effect for the piston Robinson helicopters. Is there any thought on whether those are going to be carried over or something analogous will be winding up in the front of the rule book?
Not at this point. The SFAR has accomplished what it needed to do way back when. Frankly, Robinson's happy to keep it where it is. What it does is requires pilots to be a bit more circumspect about their procedures and their safety, and in fact, making sure that they're meeting a certain standard along the way. And that, of course, from a manufacturing standpoint, is always a wonderful thing. But ultimately, at this point, the record for the 44 has been very good. They expect the 66, especially with, I mean, we're talking Rolls-Royce RR300 here. And Rolls is, they're no stranger to turbine helicopter operations. They've been very careful with this installation. They're expecting a pretty positive rollout for this particular machine. We're looking forward to being one of the first to fly it. And I personally just can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, Jim, when we come back from the break, I want to talk a minute about an overall trend that you saw from the inside of the show that may not have been obvious from the outside. My guest is Jim Campbell. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Jim Campbell, who has been to HAI and is telling us about happenings in the helicopter world. Jim, before we started talking on mic here, you told me that you kind of noticed an overall trend in the industry apart from the individual product press releases that were being made during the show.
Well, if you're talking about the obsolescence factor of the used helicopter fleet and how some of that have been put off, and the fact that right now the industry is forced into a rebuild or replace scenario right now, which is keeping sales activity up a bit more than they expected in this economy. Yes, indeed. It was pretty obvious that sales on the rotorcraft side are a little bit more bulletproof than the fixed-wing side has become. They're particularly looking at certain market segments. The high-end heavy lift is really going to be doing exceedingly well with additional demands, especially in offshore, SAR, and other markets. And the manufacturers themselves are pushing hard in R&D. In particular, I was just incredibly impressed with Jeffrey Pino's presentation for Sikorsky. I mean, $6.3 billion in sales. They've separated the company out into the civil market, military market, a services market, and they've taken their entire R&D department, which of course includes the magnificent coaxial pusher X2 program, and put that into a whole new Sikorsky segment called Sikorsky Innovations. They are putting tremendous time and effort into not just developing that, but something they call the optionally piloted vehicle, not remotely. We're talking optionally. We're talking about a Black Hawk type of prototype where you literally walk in and select two pilot operation, press a button, one pilot operation, meaning there'll be some assist, press a button, or no pilot operation, and this is what you're supposed to do. They're talking about just tremendous changes in mindset for these technologies. They're particularly interested in having any helicopter aid a pilot, especially in a combat situation for the military market, in getting home if he's hurt, which is not impossible in some of the, especially in the Afghan scenario right now. That the Afghan theater is tough. There's a lot of small arms fire. A pilot gets hit. He literally can tell the helicopter to take over, or could conceivably tell the helicopter to take over most of the chores and head on home.
You know, the old Whirlybirds TV series, I know people used to joke about the fact that the helicopters they flew in that series had a hover button that they could push and then climb out of the helicopter.
Yeah.
That's not sci-fi anymore.
Oh, heck no. And the other, they were talking about another technology, which they're currently testing using the Sikorsky 434 system, which is the turbine Schweitzer program that was offered last year and is subsequently started delivery. But they're talking about an active rotor technology, which through variable lift devices on the rotor allows the rotor to take on different attributes: low noise, high lift, low drag. So you now can customize the rotor to the mission that you're undertaking. Pretty impressive stuff. And when I talked to Jeff, as a matter of fact, I walked up to the Sikorsky CEO and said, "You know, it's so much fun to watch a guy brag and not lie." And he got a big kick out of that, because Sikorsky has done a magnificent job this year of not just looking at the market it has, but being honest with the markets of the future. And, of course, now with the White House helicopter program thrown back into the mix, which, you know, the VH-71, which the president basically threw out last year, Sikorsky has made it very clear they'll do what they have to win to win that particular program. They want it, and they want it bad. And I wouldn't bet against them.
Well, you know, you mentioned the military side. I also have to notice that, in particular, Bell Helicopter was very adamant that it's going to take a balance between the two segments to make a successful company in the long run. Mm-hmm. But during a recession, there can be lots worse things happening than to have a very robust military helicopter market.
No, they're happy with the market right now. They're a little uncomfortable with having been in the shadow of what Eurocopter has done with the U.S. market in particular. They don't like it. They've got a couple of machines that are starting to really show their stuff and get the attention that they feel they deserve. The 429 program in particular is showing some pretty strong interest from a number of segments. But they're bound and determined to knock Eurocopter off the top of the hill here and take over again. And it's hard to bet against Bell under any circumstances, although they're grooming themselves to be lean and mean, do what they have to do. They actually got rid of their responsibility for the venerable 47 program, selling all rights and parts and manufacturing authority to a private company. There's rumors they may actually do that with the original 206 and get themselves out of that part of the market. But they are bound and determined to go out in both the civil and military market and stake a claim to leadership.
Well, and at the same time, Sikorsky is making the prediction that within a few years they will be the world's number one helicopter maker. I think there's a very healthy competition going on there.
It's healthy, but the thing is that the folks that are doing the talking and the bragging for a change seem to be credible. I mean, flat out. I mean, you look at the year that Sikorsky had and some of the decision-making they've had leading up to this. And when you look at the potential technologies like the X2, which, by the way, we've been invited to go down to South Florida where they're doing some testing and spend some time with them. And, boy, you got to know I'm on that trip as fast as I can make it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got the Cirrus warmed up and ready to go the minute they call. But I just can't see anybody betting against Sikorsky and doing so with a straight face. Sikorsky at this point is looking like a very, very serious player from here on out.
Well, Jim, we appreciate your insight from the inside of the show and the background you bring to it from your experience in the segment as well. And it'll be fun to watch.
I'll tell you what, it's fun to watch a segment of the market be positive, feel positive, and show positive. I mean, we're seeing, I mean, even a best example of all is little Enstrom, which had a disastrous year with 2009 because, and the biggest issue was not that they couldn't sell the machines, but they couldn't get the financing to sell the machines that they had orders for. But ultimately, they put their effort into military programs, and all of a sudden, they've got 45 orders for their turbine machine and more to come, apparently. So they've got a much better 2010 looking ahead. So do many of the others. And the market is bound and determined to show its value and keep on selling what it can, where it can, and upgrading as necessary. It's a tremendously durable market.
Well, it's nice that we have at least one of those to report on.
Amen, Mr. Plack.
All right. Well, listen, Jim, we want to get you back within the next couple of days and talk about Women in Aviation International show, which happened in the Orlando area recently, too, and get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, we had a pretty good time with that. We'll tell you why. Thanks to Pat Lubke and a setup. We'll talk about that later.
Find out more about the annual Heli Expo show at www.heliexpo.com. There's no dash in that. Jim Campbell is ANN's CEO and editor-in-chief. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.